May the meditation on my mouth, the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Amen. When I was 10 years old, my parents were working. They were minister in the church, and they sent us to this little, tiny little island that you saw in the last volcano, the tsunami came in time. It just wiped out the place. And so my parents were sent there to work. And I remember when there's only people that had the clock in the little village of 12 families were my father and then the school. And my father always get up and ring the bell for church event. There was only one church, it was just the Methodist church. And I decided I always wanted to ring the bell on Saturday morning, on the morning when there's church. So I lay there one night and I was just waiting for the perfect time that I can get up early and go ring the bell to see people come. And I did that. And everyone came, and we had the service, and when it was time to go out, it was still dark outside. Then I realized that I did ring the bell a little too early. I got fired from ringing the bell after that. So, and to this day, I do not set alarm clock. I just get up and go do my thing. So that came to mind as well, watching people come in slowly. This morning, John had a very good way of weaving in this reading this morning. There's art, there seemed to be music, there seemed to be soul right now in our society. The evil doing, the doing things behind people's back, and yet we're reminded that God so loved the world that he gave his only son for those who believe in him shall not perish. What does that mean? What does that mean for us today? I spend my week with a young woman who have every reason to complain. She's been hurt so many times, and I gave her a notebook. And the other night I pick her up when we sat and I said, do you want to share what you wrote? And she did. And I thought that I was going to hear stories and animosity and hate toward the people who had wronged her. But it wasn't. And I realized that I was sitting next to someone who's far better understanding of God's love than I. Not a word of hate, not a word of animosity. It was only words of what she could have done better in this relationship. That wasn't me. It wasn't me. But I was setting out to condemn everybody that had hurt her. It's normal. It gave me a reason to do what I do. Go tear people down. And I was sitting in my backyard, feeling very low of myself. I am sitting knowing that I have not called on people like the way I should. I am still having way more than one person should have. And I was driving away, leaving people outside, sleeping in the cold. And I'm sitting there, and finally I feel like dirt. A big loser. a little voice came behind me and said, you are dirt. Nothing more, nothing less. You are created of dust. And I feel this hand reach down and scoop me up. Rock me and restore me back. The most we can do is take care of our environment. And each other. But every time you turn in your computer, there's someone telling you, buy this. Invest more. You'll gain more if you do this. You'll retire better if you do this. And we chase that circle around and around. But taking that moment to know that we are enough. That our Creator loves us so much to send His Son. So that we no longer go up to the mountain to make sacrifices. That we no longer live by the rules. If you really think about it, if you live in the love that Jesus has loved you with, the law of this world does not apply to you. You can live in that love. There is freedom in knowing that you are fully loved. No judgment on anyone. We have to justify that we live in a horrible neighborhood in order to give money from the government to help us. I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud to point out all the worst things in my small community after living here for almost 50 years. I cannot bring myself to tell you that these are the needs. What have you been doing with your life, you love of Jesus? What have we been doing with our life? I was driving and I was thinking of this verse of the gospel reading is the serpent. Can you imagine how scary that is? The visual of that? The snake is hanging over your head, it's about to bite you. That's what we'd like, that's what the world would like for us to feel, to live in fear. But as I coming down the hill and heading up, there was a rainbow. There's a rainbow. I no longer just believe that God loves me. I know it. And there's a difference. I know God's presence in my life. When I struggle, I know now that I'm not alone. I don't just believe there's going to be a little magic sneaking in here. I know I am not alone. I know when to walk away from relationship and still love. I know what it feels to have a day without animosity. We are called to live in that love and sow that love wherever we go. No texting. Can you imagine the power of this gospel at the time there was no computer, no telephone? It's our presence. It's our physical presence in this world that makes the difference. One day, we were sitting and the girls had been gone away from home. And the phone rang. We were expecting the young one to get home. And I can hear the conversation is bad. And what had happened is she was in Salem and driving, and the car went off the road and was sitting upside down, and she called her dad after calling the police. And father was just as calm as could be, telling her we'll be right there. And I said, give me the phone. The first thing that came out of my mouth, why are you on the telephone? Asked a whole lot of questions. What had caused this accident? My husband was getting ready, came and said, could you please give me the telephone? And he got the phone and said, we'll be right there. It was the longest trip to get there. Not a word between us. And on the way home, he explained why. He remembered 19 years old, the hospital had to call his mother because he was dying in the hospital from a car accident. And he said, as a parent, I don't want to ask questions what they did, or if they did anything wrong. I just want them to know that I'll be right there. And I never appreciated the way you question the kids when they're in trouble. But that is something that we do. We want to know what causes us to have this pain. What the world needs is someone to scoop it up and give it life again. And that's why Jesus was sent to live among us. Not only there to live with, but to teach us to know that. Not to believe in this magical thing that's going to happen to save the people that live and obey the law, or have saving their money all this life so they can go vacations. Do that, if that's what you wish. But to teach us to know that you are love. You are love. You are love. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the